Tonight, I knew the plane would be arriving late this afternoon. By the way, I'm so thankful Brother Bill came and got Brother Carnes and me. And I knew I'd be a little weak and tired, so I asked Brother Hank to preach tonight. I'm so glad he is willing to do that. And so we're looking forward to hearing what God has laid on his heart. Brother Hank, come on up here and go to it, buddy. All right.
You know, there's three kinds of pastors that I've discovered when it comes to preaching. Okay, there's pastors that never let their members or anyone preach. Okay, they're very hoggish and selfish, and they don't let missionaries come in. They don't have conferences. They preach 50 weeks a year, and when they go on vacation, their deacons preach 1 week, and the other deacon preaches the other week. I've been in that type of church. I've been in the type of church where the pastor will let some people preach. But you can see he's sitting in the chair and he's like, he doesn't want to be here, or he's very uptight, or he falls asleep. He just wants to get back. And then there's a type of pastor that's very generous and shares his pulpit and has Bible conferences and has people come in and preach. And you get to hear and see different type of preachers. And that's what we have here. And I appreciate that, because the pastor preaches in a particular style, but yet he invites people like David Cloud. He has a missions conference. We had Brother Bill. We had Pastor Charles. And now you get me. And I do appreciate that. And you know what, too? I do appreciate Pastor Charles letting me preach, too, because he's the assistant pastor. And, you know, there is a pecking order, and I understand that. And,
right.
You know, I like to get my shot, and I do appreciate the men in this church to give me the opportunity to preach. God's called me to preach, and I've had the opportunity to do that. And I'm just grateful. So, Pastor, thank you. And, Pastor, thank you. And, by the way, you guys took about 10 minutes off my sermon already. So, we'll take out the 95 theses part. I was going to talk about that, but that's already been brought up. A funny story, I told Pastor Charles this. When I knew I was going to be preaching, I had a sermon, I just called it the W sermon, and it was Walking with God. I did that in Ohio, it was pretty well received, and Pastor Charles was talking during this 2 weeks, Walking with God. So then I scratched out an outline called the L sermons, Living with God, and that's what Pastor Charles was talking about, Living with God. And I said, I can't win. So Sunday afternoon, it was, God gave me a message. It was something like, I hope you enjoy. I think it's a nice sermon. But it took me the shortest amount of time that it ever took me to prepare a sermon. And I don't know how to think of it that way, but I'm just gonna let it go, let it rip, as they say in the church. And again, thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach. So before we preach, we'll just pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today, and just thank you for bringing Pastor Barker home safely. Lord, just guide me, lead me, and let me say the things that you want to be said, Lord, and I'm just grateful. And I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. And my son knows we do this, but whenever I preach, we take our Bibles, okay? Take your Bible, all right? Shake it at the devil. Shake it at Buddha, Mohammed. That's 2 billion people right there, okay? Shake it at Hillary. All right? No, not Hillary Clinton. All right? There's a Hillary down in Cincinnati, Ohio, who received a church flyer from a friend of mine's church, and she wrote a very nasty letter to the pastor. And they shake the Bible in Ohio with this lady, Hillary. So, and we got to pray for Hillary. But anyway, let's turn our Bibles, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. and it's going to be verses 1 and 2. And if you want to fast forward, keep your finger there and just fast forward to 2 Corinthians 5:10. That's going to be the text I'm going to focus on tonight. So that's going to be Romans chapter 12. I'll read verses 1 and 2. And we'll start right now. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You know, when I was not a Christian, and when I was not saved, and I had a friend of mine at work, and he was witnessing to me, and the thing that impressed me the most about Christianity was the fact that there's a hell. And then if I'm not saved, that's where I'm going to go. And that scared me. And that was one of the motivating factors that got me to become a Christian. Now, I hear different stories about people. They just hear an invitation, and it may be a death of a family member. It may be a tragic event. There may be some sort of background story that pushed you into Christianity. For me, it was plain and simple. I'm not a Christian. I'm going to go to hell, and I better get saved. Now, this passage here, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, as a Christian, and I'm speaking for myself and for all these that I believe here are Christians, this is something that should, I don't want to use the word scare, but the judgment seat of Christ is something that should be something in the back of our mind, something that should be motivating us into serving the Lord and to doing His work. I mean, one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is a judgment that it's going to be for saved people, and we're going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to have to tell Him and explain what we did for Him, and it's good or bad. And the bad acts are going to be wood, hay, and stubble, and they get burned off, and the good rewards the Lord's going to acknowledge, and He's going to give us a reward. He's going to give us crowns. He's going to give us things to do in heaven or on this earth someday. We may be ruling a city. We may be judging angels. But there's eternal rewards. You see, you can get saved and never do anything for the Lord. But in heaven, you may be the guy sweeping the floor. I don't want to be sweeping the floor in heaven. Okay, I want to be in His choir. I want to be doing something for the Lord. And that motivates me. The judgment seat of Christ is something that, as a Christian, we're all going to have to stand before Him someday and give an account. Now, the title of my message, it's kind of a funny title, but I like it. It's called $1,000 for the Lord. Okay, it's $1,000 for the Lord. You know, Pastor Charles, the last 2 weeks, he's been giving us some nice topical messages on walking with the Lord and living for the Lord. And are you a high maintenance Christian? What I'd like to do is just continue and build on that thing, because it's really a nice little series, and this is what the Lord gave me. And you know what? I like the Wednesday crowd. I could be a little blunt. I could be a little direct. I like that. I'm going to throw out a lot of information, and I just hope that you'll be able to take a couple of these nuggets and just run with it. So, and what I'd like to do is just give you some things, some examples to get you out of this church, get you out of this building, but also get you out of your car, get you out of your house, and to start doing something for the Lord. Now, it's going to take a little money. That's why I call it $1,000 for the Lord. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know, the Webster's 1828 dictionary says that by deceiving means misleading, ensnaring, beguiling, cheating. So if you're not doing the Lord's work, you're cheating yourself. Okay? You're not just cheating the Lord, but you're also cheating yourself, because when you do work for the Lord, there's reaps and benefits and things that the Lord's going to bless you with. Don't cheat yourself. So, you know, one of the great conflicts in the church, and this is going to be a little sensitive topic, I think, that I've seen in the last few years, is that I believe that pastors of like-minded churches like ours, they're sincere, they're honest men, they're called of God, they have visions, they want to build a church, they want to build a school, they want to do so much things, and what happens is their membership is not getting behind them. They're not spending money or giving money, and they're not giving the church time. you know, their time. Now what happens is you get this, I call it a trench warfare, where the pastor's here and the members are here. You've got this great gulf in between. And this is why over 1,200 Baptist churches close each year. And why the average stay of a pastor in a Baptist church is less than 3 years. And there's just like, kind of like hidden conflict. Now I'm not saying it's this church, okay? In fact, I'm not bringing any example of our church. These are things that are very common. I'm sure pastors heard about these type of things. It's just, listen, the pastors have these visions and goals that they want to accomplish. And what I'd like to attempt to do is to sort of, you know, close that gap, get us as members to do some of the Lord's work, take the burden off of Him, and you know what? I think it'll get a little bit better, and that's what I'm going to attempt to accomplish. So just stay with me for the next 15, 20 minutes or so. It's not going to be a long message. And also what I'd like to also talk about is not just your money, but also your time. That's really two things I'm going to focus on, is time and money. In fact, to quote Pastor Charles last week, he said, "Commit your times and ways to the Lord." I think that's prophetic. It's profound. I mean, you got to commit your times and ways to the Lord. You know, listen, I don't particularly like this guy a lot, but good old brother Rick Warren, he said something profound also. He said, it's one thing to be rich, it's another thing to die rich. And think about that for a minute or two. You know, if you're always rich and got your money, but you're not spending it, you're not helping people, you're not doing anything. I'm not talking in the context of him being saved or anything, but it's one thing to be rich, it's another thing to die rich. So I don't know what the Lord would do to me if He gave me $1 billion, but I would hope that I would give it away and spend it and invest it in God's work and not just have $1 billion for my kids. You know, so that's just something to think about. That's about pretty much all I agree with Brother Rick, though, for now. But now I know some of you are saying, "Brother Hank, I've heard enough of these sermons about money, and I'm getting a little tired of this. You want to know something? Listen, I know some of you don't have $1,000, but I'm going to help you, okay? I'm going to give you some examples. Here's an article. Americans slammed by credit card debt. ABC News. The average American owes over $9,000 in credit card debt. Okay, I'm sure that $9,000 is not going to the local Christian bookstore and charging a few thousand dollars on some Bibles and some commentaries and some tracts and things. Listen, we live in New York, we live in America, just like the pastor said about in the Philippines, how they don't have much. Well, we have much. And we ought to be thankful. And God's blessed this country, okay? He's given us things. Now, the problem is I think we're taking advantage and abusing it and not using it wisely. But my feeling, now this might not be totally scriptural because I've heard a lot of sermons about not racking up debt and you shouldn't get credit card debt. The fact is that, listen, if you owe a car payment or a mortgage or something, you owe money. And if you're going to charge $9,000 on some things that, you know, listen, that's between you and the Lord. I think that if you charge $1,000 this year for the Lord, I think He would honor it. Okay? What is it? $9,000 you owe? All right, now you owe $10,000. I'm not a big fan of debt and everything, but what I'm trying to get you to do is, I've never said, well, I better not charge that Bible because then I'm going to owe money, but you'll go on off and buy a TV or something, put it on your old credit card. Okay? But get this, six-figure income and five-figure credit card debt. And the big quote is, we figured we'd have the money to pay for it, so we buy it now. Well, I'd say be a little more careful with your money. But anyway, here's another study. U.S. adults spend an average of $1,200 a year on electronics. The average U.S. home has more than 25 consumer electronics in each house. Okay? The study also found, now this is for our teenagers here, teenagers spend on average of $350 of their, quote, discretionary money. So that allowance that you give your child, or if they're working in McDonald's or something and they make some money, children are spending over $350 a year on electronics. So that's $1,550. And then the study also has shown that if you have two or more children in your house, you can add another $500 to that. So, you know, here we go, around $2,000 in consumer electronics. You're saying, "Brother Hank, why are you telling me this?" Well, I'm trying to build a case that people are spending a lot of money and they're going to, I'll show you some more examples. And what I'm saying is that If you're going to spend money on yourself, you better be spending some money on the Lord. Okay? Here's today. Average American family will spend $40 a year on Halloween. Now, I think this is probably last year's study. I bet you next year it'll be double or triple, because at least where I work on my landscaping business, it's like Christmas. They got these Halloween lights and these big blow-up dolls and all these little things, and it's hundreds of dollars. Yeah, it's helping the economy, but Halloween is not a Christian holiday. And that tract, that nice little sheet of paper that we give out every Halloween, explains it all. But I would say the average American family probably spends a couple hundred dollars a year. Right? Average American spends $56 a year on Valentine's Day. I wish I could find a dozen roses for $56. It always seems to be around 90 or 100 when I go. Average person spends $800 a year on Christmas. Now, I know in my house, that's a lot more than that. I know I like that holiday. Now, this one, I feel bad for the pastor for this one. Ka-ching, wedding price tags here soars to average $30,000 per wedding. I'm glad I got sons, because... Okay, average U.S. wedding approaching $30,000. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Oh. Boy. Yeah. you'll be owing some debt now, and on the average U.S. family owes $30,000 on weddings. Well, let's talk about time. Now, we mention this every Sunday, the cell phone. You know what? I love my cell phone. I've got two. Everyone in my family has one. Here's some statistics. Average U.S. Person spends 619 minutes a month on their cell phone. Now, that's average. Now, for you younger people, 18 to 24, 1,300 minutes per month, average. Okay, I'm glad I got the, I think it's the 2,500-minute plan. All right, if you're 25 to 36, 970 minutes. And if you're 37 to 55, 727 minutes. That's not including, okay... Now you got these things on the cell phone. I have a very simple one. It says, doesn't take pictures, doesn't get the internet. It's push the thing, dial it, and that's it. I don't have that, but my kids and some people, I say, got these gadgets. Not including cell phone games. I can't even see the numbers on my phone. How can you play a video game on a cell phone? Cell phone TV, cell phone download adds another 200 to 500 minutes, and studies have shown that there are some people that are actually addicted to their cell phone and this games and the downloading and everything. All right? What are we doing with our time? Now, here's an old one that we love to kick, and I totally agree with this. The old TV. The TV is on average in the U.S., average U.S. household, 7 hours of 40 minutes. That just means that it's on. Doesn't mean that you're actually sitting in front, but, you know, people turn the TV on, and what do? They go read a book, or they go vacuum clean, or they get on their cell phone and talk. But the average TV is on 7 hours and 40 minutes. Now, the average time that a person will actually sit in front of a TV and watch something is 4 hours, okay? Here's a little statistic. The number of hours recommended by the American Pediatric Association for children 2 and under to watch TV. This is what they recommend for children 2 and under to watch TV. 0 hours. They don't recommend that because of the light and things. It's not good for their vision and things. Okay, the average American child, 2 and under, watches 2 hours and 5 minutes of TV each day. So it's, you know, put Junior in front of the TV and go talk on your cell phone and watch some video games. Okay, the average time per week that the average child, 2 to 17, spends watching TV, 19 hours and 40 minutes in a week. I think it's lower in our camp. These are just average things, but we know the situation, what's going on. We spend a lot of time in front of the TV. Now, I'm not preaching against TV. I like my TV. I like my internet. When I first got married, my wife will tell you, I used to stay up and watch TV till 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't do that anymore. I like going to bed. I do watch TV a little bit. I have my cell phone, but it's less, less, less. Here's something else. Americans spend more than 100 hours commuting to work each year. This is according to the U.S. Census Bureau, so it's a nice official government thing. Commuting in the city of Boston costs over $1.4 billion a year in lost time, lost gas, for these people that are stuck in traffic, burning gas, they're late for work, and everything gets messed up. I remember driving to Brooklyn every day. My commute was more than 100 hours. Mine was... 1 hour in, 1 hour out, that's 2 hours a day. Multiply that times 250 days, that's 500 hours. And we know people that commute, they live upstate, they come into the city. They've actually gone on to say that the highest commute is in New York. So we here in New York spend a lot of time in our car. Okay, now this is something that, this is amazing. TV and personal computers take over U.S. homes. The average American spends more time using media, okay, such as TV and the internet, than sleeping. You know, what do you sleep on a day? 7 hours? 8 hours? If you're lucky, maybe you get, you know, 9 or 10 hours once in a while. But so that means you're on your cell phone or your TV or your computer or video game more than you're actually sleeping in a day. This is the quote from one of these doctors. This is arguably in excess of anything we would have ever envisioned 10 years ago, Professor Popper said. Americans are spending more time and more money. And what I'd like to do is just to kind of bring it down a little bit, and let's put the focus on the Lord. Okay? Let's put the focus on the Lord. Now, I'm going to help you spend $1,000. That was my introduction. And here's a few ideas. Okay? Now, the one thing I get to do as a preacher, when I throw out these ideas, I see some people go like this, and I see some people go like this. Okay? Listen, I'm going to throw out a bunch of things. If you can grasp one or two of these things and actually do it, then I've accomplished something. Okay? Psalm 68:11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Now, I know that word publish sort of has like a dual meaning. You know, publish means they preach like this. That's publishing. But publishing could also mean that they printed. Okay, they printed the word. You see the Old Testament. King Nebuchadnezzar sent the word and posted it throughout all the land. Right? So there was some publishing done in Bible times. If it wasn't for the Gutenberg printing press, all right, and Martin Luther with his 95 theses, and Martin Luther really wrote a lot of tracts, which is unknown to people. They were published and printed and sent throughout all of Germany. And that was really the spark that people were able to take a little piece of paper and read it. And then the Bible was eventually printed in German. So printing is just a great tool. We got paper, we have the Bible, we got tracts, we have everything right there. So publishing is a great thing. Now we're going to talk about some things that are published now. Okay? Here's a simple thing. These are suggestions for you to do as a Christian. Get yourself a business card. Gonna sound funny? Get yourself a business card. I have a business card, okay? Mine says, a friend of the Police Baptist Ministries, Evangelist Hank Anderson, retired NYPD lieutenant. I have my phone, I have my internet site, and on the bottom, Sending Church Bible Baptist Church, 779 Elmont Road, Elmont, New York, the phone number and the website. Now, you know something? I have a little ministry, it's called A Friend of the Police, but I'm going to tell you something. You could be a friend to whatever job you're in. If you work for the telephone company, you know what? You're just a friend to the telephone company now. And you know what that means? You can be known as the person in your field as a Christian. Okay? If you work for the Long Island Railroad, you could be a friend to the Long Island Railroad. All right? I have a friend of mine. He's a friend of the churches. He helps churches. What am I trying to say? You print out some business cards. All right? Business cards cost 1,000 cards, $30. You can total that up, $30. You meet a friend, you meet someone on your street, you hand someone a card, you've just handed someone your information, the church's information, and really what I want to do, since I'm just starting to give you some information, anything that you do, okay, should be under the umbrella of the church and should have the church's information, because as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to get people to come, hopefully, to our church. But you know, that's what I'd like for you to do. Anything that you do, you tell people, this is what church I go to, and you put the church's information about this. Okay? Get yourself a rubber stamp. You're going to need a rubber stamp. Why? Well, maybe I'm going to take some tracts, or maybe I'm going to hand out some Bibles and some things. You just don't want to hand someone a Bible and not, well, where did this come from? Well, it came from Bible Baptist Church. Well, some people, they get a Bible and say, wow, maybe I'll go to the Jehovah's Witness Church. You know, maybe that's what it's about. Or maybe I'll go to the Mormon Church. Anything that you do should have our church's information. And you know something? If you decide to take on some of these ideas, obviously let the pastor know about this thing, okay? Because, and you want to maybe show him some tracks or some things that you plan on doing. Get him involved in it, okay? Rubber stamp, $15. Build your own website, okay? Build your own internet site. I have my own web page. This is something you can do. $99 a year, unlimited hosting. I have on my website the King James Bible. I have our church link. I have some other information link. I have some photos. It's something that I can do. I have a counter on it. Over 600 people have visited my website. You know, it's just something that, as a tool, we can use to get people. Just like the pastor said, he doesn't even know this guy in the Philippines, but he's been getting his sermon outlines for the last 6 months. The internet is a good tool.
Yeah.
And you know something? I'll tell you this later on, but everything that I'm telling you, you can probably get for free anyway. And I'll tell you how to do that. Get yourself two cases of King James Bibles. Two cases, that's 20 Bibles in each case. That's 40 Bibles for $140. And what you do is you buy your Bibles, your rubber stamp Bible Baptist Church on it, and you know what you do with those Bibles? Don't put them in the garage. Okay, don't put them in your closet. You put them in your car. Because I guarantee, when you start doing work for the Lord, He is going to put opportunities that you've never dreamed of. It's like you're at a gas station, and all of a sudden you're talking to someone about, the next thing you know, yeah, I go to Bible Baptist Church, and oh, it's like a Bible? And you go into your car, and you whip out a Bible. 40 Bibles. I think you can hand out 40 Bibles a year. And I'm talking about handing them out, not just leaving them at the bus stop and running away, okay? God is going to put you... Here's a true story. I was in a Barnes & Noble store a year or two ago with my son, and he goes to his section. I always go to the religious section. I want to know what they're selling. I look around, and a lady was going to buy a Bible. And she was going for the NIV, and I was like, no. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, no good. She's like, why? I go, well, you know, I want to get into it too much, but it makes thousands of changes. It's really not a good version. I stick with the King James. She's like, King James? Nah. I said, you know what? I got a case in my car. I'd like to give you a Bible. In fact, you just meet me by the front door in 5 minutes, and I'll give you a Bible. And I'll save you the $10 in the Bible. And I gave her a Bible. Now, many of you know also, I've told this in the church, I have on my trailer, my work truck, would you like a free Bible, beep the horn, pull up next to me. In the year that I've been doing this, I've given out over 20 Bibles, free. And each Bible I give out has a tract with our church's information on it. Okay? Buy two cases of New Testaments. It costs $280. You can't always hand out a big Bible. Now you have a little... You have a little Bible, the TNT. You got your tracts and your New Testament. Two cases, that's 72 New Testaments, $280. I think you can hand out 72 New Testaments in a year. I really believe that you can do this. Okay? Purchase 730 tracts. Well, why 730? Well, I do the math. 365 days in a year. Give out two tracts. Now, a lot of those tracts in the back are free. I give those out, but I also give out this chick track. This Was Your Life. I really like. I don't agree with everything and all the tracks that he makes, but this one track in particular, most of you guys have read this one. This Is Your Life. This Was Your Life. It's a comic form. It gives you the plan of salvation. Sometimes people won't take the little cheapy free tracks, but they'll take something that has pictures. I mean, listen, that's what they like. But it's also a gospel-filled track, and I think that you can give out two tracks a day. Now, those, you know, you can give to people, or you can leave them in, you know, public bathrooms. Lord knows we need more tracks in public bathrooms now. In gas station pumps. I go to Citibank, and I withdraw money at the ATM. There's a track there every week. Somebody is doing this, okay? And it's not from our church. What else can you do for the Lord? Spend some money. How about take on a missionary? Okay? Take on a missionary. We take on missionaries in our church, but why can't you support a missionary? All right? $25 a month times 12 months, $300. Okay? Now, I know we have a budget, you know, in our church, and we'd love to take on every missionary that comes in here, but there's no reason why we can't step up to the plate and just, you know what? The Lord's laid this on my heart, brother. I'd like to help you out. and you take on a missionary. And you know what? You'll get the newsletter, and you'll be the one that gets the birthday card, and you'll get the blessings of knowing what's going on in such and such country. I don't want to go deeply into what I do too much. I sort of believe what the Lord says of not let your, I think it's your left hand know what your right hand's doing. I've taken on a few missionaries that I do. Now, what I'd also like to say is, you know, this money that I'm helping you spend, this is not your tithe money, okay? Let's just get that out of the way. There's tithes and there's offerings, okay? And I believe that the tithe is to be administered to the New Testament church, and they do what they need as they see fit. And that's taking on missionaries, taking care of maintenance of the building, paying this pastor's salary, okay? But there's also offerings. God's blessed us, most of us, I believe, hopefully, with good jobs and businesses, and God's given us some, just like the kids had $500 or $350 of discretionary money, that we have some discretionary money. So hopefully you'll take on a missionary and use some of that extra money that the Lord's given you. This is something that I did at my last church, and it was I really enjoyed this. You know, out in the street, you see those street boxes, you know, you see like the real estate magazines and you know, some of those help wanted things. I bought one for the church I used to go to because they're right in front of a bus stop. This thing cost $200, okay? I bought it on my own money. I asked the pastor if I could do this. He said yes. We put a chain on it. I put some tracts, some Bibles. We started putting the church bulletin. One day a guy was in the bus stop, picked up some things, started coming to church. He got saved a week later. It was all worth it. I wish I could pay $200 and just get someone saved. But it doesn't work like that. But you do things like this, you never know what happens. You know what? We're on a busy street. Every time I pull in front of the church, there's always people walking up and down. And if we had one of these boxes here, the funny thing is the company that I bought it from a couple years ago, I can't find them anymore. But I'd like to think, you know, consider putting the box right out over there. Just putting our church's bulletin, some Bibles and some things, and the community will know that there's free stuff here and there's Christian stuff here and that this church cares for this community. Okay? What else could you do? Well, how about buying 100 blank CDs? Now, most of us have computers, okay? And the one thing I like now is that our church's messages are on computer. I didn't really know this until a few months ago, but you can take a sermon, if you've got an up-to-date computer, on the internet, right-click, save, put in a blank CD, and then within a minute, you've got that message on CD. Now, I've got some messages. This is my own little design that I made for the CDs that I hand out. I've got some friends that have preached some great messages on hell and on alcohol and stuff. One time, a man at a church I was going to, he had some questions about Pentecostalism and that movement. I had a CD, boom, boom, boom. I gave him a sermon on it, just like that. You can hand out, you'd be surprised how many conversations you'll encounter with people. And you just wish you could give them a CD or the pastor preach a sermon. Wow, really, you know what? You can get a sermon, put on CD, and give it to your friend. It's very simple to do. And if you have some problems with that, you can talk to me, maybe Sister Sandra. I know the messages are available. But you can also get other messages on the internet and make CDs. Very simple to do. Okay, we're winding down here. Do an act of spontaneous charity that the Holy Spirit has told you to do. That's something to think about. Okay, how about helping the poor? All right, Proverbs 14:21 says, "But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." Now, you know, luckily it doesn't say give the poor people money because I've in my police career I've encountered a lot of poor guys that were alcoholics and drug addicts, and if you give them $5, they're going to run to the corner and buy a big quart of beer. But there's nothing wrong with buying that guy a sandwich or a donut. Mm-hmm. All right, give him a Bible tract. Tell them you're a Christian, okay? That doesn't cost a whole lot of money. How about helping our pastors, okay? 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, okay? That's double honor, okay? Especially they that labor in the word and doctrine. I'm going to tell you something about our pastors, okay? We're not giving them double honor. We've actually cut that in half, and then we've cut that in half, okay? Like I said, I'm going to be blunt and quite honest. These guys deserve a lot more money than what they're making now. And it's not money, okay? It's not just like money they're going to get rich and buy a Cadillac, okay? I can tell you, as a lieutenant in the NYPD, I made over $100,000. I'm not ashamed or nothing hidden. It's something that's published in the paper every day. All right, my salary is just a typical salary. Maybe it's a little above middle class, but I'm not sure. Maybe you make $50,000, maybe you make $70,000. But I know what our pastors make, and they make peanuts, okay? I'd actually say with our budget and some stuff, and I don't want to go too far into it, but when we get some money down the road or whatever, we can't always think about taking missionaries all the time. We have our own right here in the church that we have to take care of, okay? So, you know what? Maybe the Holy Spirit may tell you someday, you know what, Pastor? I know times are a little tough here in the church, but here's a little something for you. The Holy Spirit told me to do it. Do an act of charity that the Holy Spirit has told you. Charity is different from love, and that's what I like about the King James Bible, because charity is love in action. It's, I can tell you I love you, but I don't got no money, and I'm not going to put any gas in your tank, and okay, I love you. All right, but if you love them, you'll help them, okay? Listen, we're New Yorkers. If there's one group of people that talks about money constantly, it's us, all right? How about strangers? You know, the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, Paul says, the Good Samaritan went to him and bound him up in his wounds. He poured oil and wine. He saw him on his own donkey. He brought him to the inn. He took care of him. He gave the host 2 pence for the room, food, and care. And he told the innkeeper that if there's any more additional charges, I will take care of that. And you know what Jesus said? Go and do ye likewise. All right? There's no wrong with helping out a stranger. Okay? How about the fatherless and widows? All right? 1 Timothy chapter 5 and James chapter 1. It's the church's responsibility. It's supposed to take care of the fatherless and the widows, but I don't know too many Baptist churches that are doing that. Okay, we talked about the Mormons before and adultery and stuff. Probably the one thing that they do right is that they do take care, and that's what they're known for, is taking care of their elderly people and that kind of thing. So I'll let the Holy Spirit tell you and decide. I'm not going to put a financial amount on that. Okay, let the Holy Spirit. It may be $5 helping out a guy that's hungry, or maybe $1,000. Who knows? Well, church, if you total that all up, it's going to be more than $1,000, okay? But you can use a little discretion, and you all know your financial situations. And like I said, I've thrown out a bunch of things to you. If you could take one or two things, maybe you can't do everything now. Maybe you take on a missionary. Maybe you can help the pastor. You know, maybe you can do buy a case of Bibles, help them out. I'm just giving you some things that you can do. Spend a little money, your own discretionary money, because, like I told you in your introduction, we're spending a lot of money on TVs and cell phones and some other things, and we're spending a lot of time doing a lot of things that, you know, listen, a million years from now, we're not going to be standing in heaven saying, boy, that cell phone was a great thing, wasn't it? No, we're not going to be talking about cell phones in heaven. We're going to be talking about, thank God that so-and-so picked up that Bible and read it and came to church and got saved. Amen. And thank God that I was able to help out in some way. That's the eternal rewards and security that we're going to get to see someday. Just cut back, you know, simple as I can say. Cut back maybe some of the expenses, make better time management, and you'll be just fine. Psalms 126, verses 3 to 6. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that go forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Here's a little companion verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 9. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers of whom ye believe, as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. You know, go forth and do something for the Lord. and just be happy about it, and you know what, leave the results up to God. Don't be like, well, I did all of this, but I don't see anything. You want to know something? You're going to be in heaven someday, and you're going to bump into someone and say, you know what? I picked up a Bible in some street box one day, and then a week later I moved to North Carolina, but I took that Bible, I read it, went to church, and got saved. You'll never know fully the results that you have done by just doing some of these things.
Amen.
You may not be able to personally lead someone to the Lord, but you can plant that seed, and the pastor will water it, and God will give the increase, and that person will get saved. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, now let me just say our text. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you're not saved, okay, and you're not a Christian, and you're visiting here, you're not born again the Bible way, let me just tell you that spending $1,000 for the Lord is not going to get you saved. It's not that simple. Some churches, I know, charge funds, and they get you to the church, and they rubber stamp something, and you're saved, and you're in the church, and it don't work like that. If it only costs $1,000, I would be spending my money on all my friends and relatives getting them saved, but it doesn't work like that. We're doing these things as Christians because we love the Lord and we want to see people saved. All right, we've already been born again. We've already been saved. And you know what the best thing about this whole thing, talking about time and money? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He paid the price already for us. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. And the time, He's already done it. All right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that's all you got to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Get right with the Lord. Be saved. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. So, that's it, church. Thank you, church.
Amen.